You're listening to SBS News.
In February last year, the World Health Organization said people with mild cases of COVID-19 usually recover within 2 weeks. Now, over a year later, data shows 1 in 10 continue to experience poor health for months after they first become infected. It's a phenomenon health experts are calling long COVID, and it's being reported in harder-hit countries such as the United Kingdom and United States as more evidence emerges. Dr. Stuart Tan, a Sydney physician specialising in trauma and rehabilitation, is among those Australians attempting to better understand the long-term impacts of coronavirus. He says long COVID is more prevalent than expected.
There's emerging evidence from overseas that a large number of individuals with COVID-19 are still experiencing symptoms months after the acute infection. In fact, there's a systematic literature review that was published less than 2 months ago that put the number at 72.5%. So this is an overseas study. And there has been study as high as 87.9%. So it's pretty much more prevalent than one would expect, I guess.
Australia's healthcare system is currently occupied with preventing and treating immediate infections. However, experts say long-term implications also warrant attention. Dr. Tan says studies he's involved in are showing there are two main issues.
Well, I guess what I can share with our study so far is from our initial analysis. There are two major observations. Firstly, a significant number of our participants are still symptomatic months after diagnosis. And secondly, COVID-19 has an adverse impact on quality of life in the longer term. But it's very, very symptoms, and some of the symptoms can be short-term, some of them can be long-term, and some complication actually permanent.
University of New South Wales Professor Betty Liu says there is no clear definition currently of what long COVID entails, meaning it needs constant monitoring and reviews.
It's been a condition that's quite hard to define, I think, which has, you know, made it difficult in some ways, I think, to properly study. I think that variously different groups and groups within the United Kingdom and in the US would potentially sort of define, and also the World Health Organization actually as well, would define sort of the sort of post-acute COVID conditions or post-acute COVID syndromes as basically the sort of symptoms that people would get 4 weeks or greater after they initially had an infection with COVID. I think what makes the condition quite difficult, maybe it's why people sort of call it a condition, is that there's a really wide range of symptoms that people experience.
For now, researchers can agree the condition encapsulates those who do not recover completely from acute COVID-19 infection and go on to have persistent symptoms. Professor Liu is the lead author on the largest study of COVID-19 recovery undertaken so far in Australia. She says women, the elderly and those with pre-existing health problems are among those less likely to recover. 94% of people diagnosed with the virus in New South Wales during the first wave in 2020 were tracked, and 5% were found to be still experiencing symptoms like coughing and fatigue 3 months later. Professor Liu says patients present with headaches, continuing problems with taste and smell, chest pain and rashes, along with what she calls difficult to explain symptoms. She adds that results from studies currently vary. Australian studies are suggesting a lower proportion of sufferers than some international studies. She suggests this could be attributed to the significant differences in cases between Australia and other harder hit countries.
I guess when you look at the size of this pandemic overall, even if you're talking about, you know, 5% of people, even in Australia where we have had, you know, this extremely contained pandemic, at least at this point in time still, we still don't have very many cases compared to internationally. But, you know, if you're talking about 5%, you're still talking about thousands of people.
Recovery from the disease can also affect mental health, with fatigue-related issues often contributing. Professor Martin Henscher from Deakin University's Institute for Health Transformation fears patients with long COVID might not be taken seriously, as can happen when people present with symptoms of chronic fatigue.
The most direct linkage clearly is really the kind of commonality of the key symptoms of the fatigue and debilitation and the kind of depression and mental health impacts that that can bring from that, that sense of debilitation. So that's the big kind of link, is what we are seeing, not really in Australia because we have our numbers of long COVID patients really are still so low, but certainly in the UK and Europe, many people with long COVID are reporting actually they may be having quite similar experiences. They believe they're really debilitated and disabled by this, but their general practitioners, even sometimes specialists, are really not taking them very seriously and also quite limited in what they can do for them.
Professor Henshaw is urging authorities to start thinking about the long term now, despite primary prevention being still the top priority in Australia.
The most important thing we can do for long COVID in Australia is to prevent it by preventing COVID-19 in the first place. And that's all the things we all understand, vaccination and all the other public health measures that unfortunately we're all too familiar with. People haven't been thinking about the burden of long COVID in planning some of their public health responses to COVID-19. And actually, the bottom line is we've really only been focusing on deaths. But if, in fact, quite a significant number of people end up really quite debilitated and quite sick with long COVID for a long time, that changes some of our risk-benefit ratios, and that's not properly been reflected in the planning yet.
In the United States, President Joe Biden has announced a push to qualify serious long-term symptoms of COVID-19 as a form of disability, making federal protections and resources available to those sufferers. Professor Henshaw says it's a timely and sensible proposal, noting the potential huge burden of long COVID in the US, where more than 34 million COVID-19 cases have been recorded. People with Disabilities Australia has welcomed that proposal, but Senior Policy Officer Giancarlo De Vera says it might not work the same way at home.
The two systems are very different. You know, Australia has service systems that are much more much more accommodating than America does. And so we obviously welcome President Biden's call for making adjustments. We would be interested to know what the detail was.
Mr. De Vera says there will need to be improved accessibility in mainstream service systems for those who cannot access the National Disability Insurance Scheme.
The NDIS is a very particular scheme for those with lifelong and permanent disability. However, there's a second tier to people with disability, and those are the people who don't access the NDIS. It's incumbent upon those governments to ensure that those mainstream systems are absolutely accessible, particularly for those who don't meet the high threshold of the NDIS requires for access.
Separately, the UK has been setting up specialised long COVID clinics as millions of dollars are pumped into research. And while Australia is not yet seeing the same level of burden that requires specialised centres, experts agree the government should be working towards coordinated healthcare. As research continues, experts are calling on any Australians diagnosed with the Delta variant to come forward and assist with studies. For health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Sofia Petrovic, SBS News.